A radio broadcast that I started every Saturday, that is my introduction music. The instrumental of that Waymaker. That's why I sing it again. Praise the Lord. So let's go into prayer. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon us. Thank you, Lord, for today. Minister through us. Minister to us. Let your name not be glorified. Jesus, you are the Word. And as we open your word to one another, Lord, feed us yourself. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, today, I'm still going to sing that song. The Lord is so good, he's so good, he's so good. But sing it. My God is so good, he's so good. To me, hallelujah. The Lord is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God is so good, he's so good. Stand up and rejoice. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God is so good, he's so good. Hallelujah. My Lord is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God is so good, he's so good. Hallelujah. My God is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God. God be good to you, sing it again.
God is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God is so good, he's so good. Oh, hallelujah, my God is so good, he's so good, he's so good. My God is so good, he's so good, so good.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Can we sit? Today I've just talked on faith. The Lord wanted us to share with one another some of the reasons why sometimes our faith doesn't work, or why sometimes we don't get the miracles that we were expecting. But I'm going to bring it from this faith of Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is going to be a form of teaching, so go along with me as you open your Bible, as you put it out on the screen there. 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1. You will notice in this story of Naaman the leper, because the Lord actually referred to this story, and that is why when we are talking of Naaman the leper, we need to point out what the Lord referred to. Many times when we read this story, we are only thinking about, wow, what God did, which is what we are going to talk about. But what I want to analyze today is what we call, what are the steps of faith? Steps of faith. Because many of us, we have prayed, we have done something, we thought we did everything we need to do, but still we don't get what we are expecting. But if we analyze some of those steps, we might see where we are missing something. That is why I'm talking about this today. In this story, from verse 1, it says, this man, Naaman, was not an Israelite. He was a Syrian captain. Call him a major general in the army of Syria. And these people have gone out, they have captured some people from Israel. And they got one little maid. According to this story, let's read it. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, Let's quickly talk about leprosy in the days of Moses. Moses put it in the Bible for them that it was God that was smiting people with leprosy. That was how it sounded to them, because he said, if you have, Moses wrote in his scripture, he said, if you do these things that I am writing down to you, God will take diseases out of the midst of you. God said, I will not put any of these diseases upon you. Which means if any Israelite suddenly found themselves with leprosy, because they could remember the story of the sister of Moses in the wilderness, and that she was struck with leprosy because she disobeyed or did something wrong. So in their mindset in Israel, it would have been, anytime something like that occurred to anybody, it's like, well, God has done it, they must have done something wrong. So I'm bringing that one in quickly here, because when you go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he referred to this story, why the Israelites not getting miracle, and a man from Syria, not under the covenant of God, came in, went to a prophet, and got a miracle. Why were Israelites not getting the miracle? Because our mindset have to do with these things. Your mindset. Because if you have believed that it was God that put that thing upon him, upon the leper, because they must have done something wrong, it will be very difficult for you to seek God. That is my caveat in that. But let's go ahead and go step by step to this story of Naaman the leper. From verse 3. Let me read verse 2 again. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. Well, let's quickly, I'm going to draw some references, just some lessons from this story. For we younger people, you young boys, young girls, because it says the maid, maybe a 13-year-old girl, 14-year-old, 12-year-old, now a slave, but she didn't let that bother her. She was living with in the house of the major general. So you can see maybe they treated her well. And then she noticed something, that the boss of the house, the major general, was, they were always rapping this thing. She knew that's leprosy. She could recognize that's leprosy. So she told the woman, oh God, and she went to the prophet in Samaria. What do we call that? Testimony. Testimony. That little maid was testifying about the God of Israel. Not afraid that, well, so the idea that could come to the mind is, if your God is so good, why did he make you a slave? Don't think that direction. Because that will be the way the devil can bring wrong idea to people's mind. You think your God, a prophet, is in your land, your God is greater than our God. We are winning. We are the Syrians. We are winning. So that didn't bother him. That didn't bother this little girl. She saw something. She knew that the prophet in Samaria could do something about this. So now you have to, if any thought like that comes to this girl, she should what? Capture those thoughts. That is one of the things I'm trying to point out. I'm drawing references from this story. This little maid, as she's giving a testimony of what she has heard. Now, one question. Has this girl ever seen Elisha the prophet heal a leper? We're not really sure that she has seen it, but she heard. She could have heard that the prophet has done something like that before. Now, in this generation that we are in, because I'm a preacher, I've talked in the streets to people, and I witness in many places where I find myself. I've talked to people that say there is no God. I've talked to people that thought, well, you guys that are believing the Bible, you are believing a mythological book that was written for man just to keep them straight. There's nothing like heaven, hell. Well, all of those are excuses the devil uses for men. Everything in the Bible here is their testimonies. Testimonies of, let me ask another question. Before there was television, there was radio. People will listen to news on radio. You might turn to Radio America, and they said something happened in New York. You are not there. Somebody was reporting it, and you believed it. You are believing testimonies. The same people that believe those stories, now you can say, well, I can see it on TV, they actually show before, they are actually fake ones, you know, so even our generation. But see, they believe testimonies of men, but they don't want to believe the testimonies of God, because this, all the stories in this Bible, they are testimonies of what happened. Some people saw it and they wrote it down, and we heard about it. Like this little girl, she heard that the prophet in Samaria has done miracles and can do that miracle. So that's what I'm pointing out, that you have to believe testimonies that you hear. The Bible is just stories, testimonies of what God has done in the life of Israelites, in the life of the apostles. They were there. How many people saw Jesus Christ walk upon water? How many people? Maybe 12 apostles. But now it looks like the whole world knew about it. Not so. Testimonies. So we that are believers, we are only believing testimonies. So give your own testimony about the Lord wherever you find yourself. Don't worry whether they believe it or not, but I'm referring to that because many unbelievers wanted to say this is just a mythological book. No. Testimonies of people that saw it and they were there and they wrote it down for us. And if you believe it, tell others. So this maid saw the gave the testimony to the God of Israel that if this man can go to that prophet, he will heal him of this leprosy. Now, the people believe. That is the first point I want to point out. The first thing is, you hear a testimony, do you believe it? This man, they believed it in Syria. You mean they believed the story that a slave girl told them? They believe the story this slave girl told them. They could have dismissed, who is the girl that told you guys, that slave girl, don't worry about it. She could be making it up. She could be a lie. If she is this and that, how come she's a slave? All of those things never come to play. Even the king of Syria believed this testimony. So the first thing we have to know about steps of faith is you hear testimony, then you believe. But that's not enough. Because I believe it does not mean you are going to get something. The next step is you better act on what you say you believe. Act on what you say you hear. Remember the story of, let me just digress to another story that was in the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in preaching about, he was going to the house of Jairus. And the Bible says a woman that was having an issue of blood. The first thing was she heard that this rabbi they were calling the Messiah, people were touching him and they were getting miracles. So she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I also will be made whole. So she heard first testimonies. She didn't see them touching Jesus, but she heard that these people were touching him and they were getting miracles. So hearing is the first thing. Then believing that you hear is the next thing. If you believe it, you better act on it. That woman came in the press. Remember, Jesus Christ was surrounded by 12 men. Then there will be other adults that were just trying to see who is this Messiah. So a crowd. And think of a woman pressing through a crowd. That was a serious action of faith. So after you say you believe, after you heard you believe, you better act on what you believe. And these are steps that make people get this miracle. I'm just pointing out these steps. Because many times we see this miracle in the Bible, we just never analyze to see what did they do to get this thing. They took some steps. And that is what we are going to talk about. And we are pointing out again that after you're believing it, take some steps. Verse 5. In this verse 5, the Bible said, they went and told the king, not even the general told the king, some other people heard about it, that maid said it, and it went to the ears of the king of Syria. So he said, well, we better do something. They loved this man, Naaman, because he was a general. But nobody in their city or in their town or in their country could heal leprosy. They heard about prophets can do miracles like that. Now this lady said there's a prophet in Samaria can do it. wait, let's go and try him out. So in verse 5, that was the action of faith. So as I was pointing out, actions are very, very important. Verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go to, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Well, now you know the story. They went to the wrong place. Well, at least they were taking steps. Remember, this is another country, from Syria to Israel. That's how it's coming from Mexico to Phoenix, Arizona. See, I had somebody, there's a prophet here in Phoenix, Arizona, they crossed the border. So remember those steps. Now, the king was afraid that these people are trying to start a war because they were enemies. So these people are trying to start a war. How can I heal a leper? To just shorten the story, the Bible said the prophet Elisha heard about it and sent to the king and said, verse 8, it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, I pointed three things out. Hear the testimony. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. Then take action. So three steps. So they have taken the action, but they went to the wrong direction, but God helping them out. Remember the other story of the wise men came looking for Jesus, the baby Jesus. They have read some things in their scriptures that told them, or in whatever way they found out, there will be a king that will be born in Israel. Maybe they have heard the book of Daniel, the prophet was in that part of the world in those days. So they came looking for him because they saw some stars. You say, well, people following stars. Well, they did. So they came by, but they went to the wrong place. They went to the king in Jerusalem. Similar story. And the king was surprised that, how come you guys know about it and our own priest didn't know about it? So in the end, the Lord helping them out, they got to the baby Jesus. It's a similar story. But now this man finally got before Elisha the prophet. And remember the rest of the story. He came, remember he was a major general in the army. And people always looked down on prophets in those days and up to now. Because prophets have turned themselves into beggars, you know, asking for donation, help, money. So if this man, he forgot that he was a leper. He stood before the house of Naaman, or house of Elisha the prophet, and the Bible said Elisha did not even come out to talk to him. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He sent a messenger. Verse 11. Now, Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Now, verse 12 is the amazing thing. Like I said, I forgot he was a leper. Now, you look at the house where he's standing. Maybe it was like a ramshackle house, you know, the prophets living in the house. He went to the king, you know, that's a palace. So you can say, we are dignified and dignified people. Now, they send him to this ramshackle house. So he stood outside, and the man didn't even come out. Send a messenger, go and wash in River Jordan. Now, he became so nationalistic. In verse 12, are not Abana and the Farfar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Pride. I'm saying we are analyzing what can make somebody not get a miracle. That is the first thing you point out. After you take your steps, they took all the first three steps are very important. You hear, you believe, you took actions. Now I'm going to go get my miracle. And the devil will stand in your way. The devil will stand in your way. Remember that. How does the devil work? Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. The devil will not come with a fork and a lion running up, physical lion. No, it's going to bring ideas to your mind. Like Naaman, he got upset because he saw where he came to this Ranshaku house. This is where the prophet lives. Yeah. And the prophet didn't even come out. Now he became so big and became so nationalistic. He said, I should go and wash in that river, Jordan. We have better rivers in my city, in my country. So he was now saying, our country is better than your country. That's now, he's now proud, you see. The devil will bring in pride to stop you. So remember that, resist the devil steadfastly in the faith, is what the Bible said. And I'll be going to that, some of the reasons why people fail to get miracles. After you have taken steps, I want the Lord to do this for me. The devil will come in with pride. Even before you get it, watch out for it. Or come in with fear. Just know it is the devil. It could be fear. Fear of what? Or it could be fear that, well, you may not get it. It's a, no, it's a fear in itself. If I don't get this thing, what will happen? Those are fear. Because you have to capture every thought to the obedience of the word of God. Now, I said, for Naaman, it was pride that the devil threw at him. So he was not angry, but he said, the next thing is this. Your friends may be your help, or they may be your distractor. Because after he decided to go out in rage, verse 12, verse 13 said, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, they call him father. If the prophet had bid thee do some great things, would thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Now, I have pointed this out in some of my earlier sermons. Look, choose your friends wisely. Choose those whom you walk with very carefully. If this man has come with just some unbeliever that were reluctantly following him because he is the general, they just reluctantly follow, they say, why are we wasting our time? This is useless. This is ridiculous. And then a man now is angry, he was going away in rage. They will say, well, we told you, we are just wasting our time. We know it's not going to be. They will just discourage the brother. But he came with people that believed. So that is very important. Surround yourself with people like-minded that believe like you do. That when you are going down, they are going to lift you up. That was what you see in this man. He was going down fast after he has traveled miles. Brought money. If he has to pay for this thing, he brought enough money. And by the man said, go and wash in this dirty river. So he got upset, he got angry. And he was going down fast that he was not going to get this thing. But his friends, his servants, they came and said, do it. So that's why I say, choose your friends carefully. In fact, choose where whom you listen to very carefully. That is one of the reasons why people have to choose which church you go to. Because they are feeding you and filling you with words. But if you choose the right place, it will be building you up. These people, they are the help for this man. So he humbled himself and went for this bath. And he went seven times. And it has to be as prescribed. Amen? It has to be as prescribed. I remember that story of the man that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, this man was born blind and Jesus Christ healed the man. You know what Jesus Christ did to the man as they were coming out of the temple? I'm not referring to those stories, I'm just putting them in by the way. This man was born blind. You didn't know he was born blind. Practically, there was no eyeballs. They just saw a blank, no eyeballs. So that was why they knew he was born like that, blind. Deformity. So the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them and said, well, you spit on the ground, make spittle, clay out of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the man. It's the eyes, where the eyes should be. And he told the man, go and wash in this pool of Siloam. And the man could have, how will he go and wash? Somebody have to lead him there. Maybe a young boy say, okay, I'll take you to the pool of Siloam. But you see, those are steps. Just like we are talking about, there are steps. God, sometimes we want you to take those steps. And don't tell me that the devil will not stand in the way to make sure he challenge those steps. The devil could have whispered, well, you don't need to go to the pool of Siloam. That is far away. You could put it in the young boy. Well, there's a swimming pool right in our house. Why don't we do that? Wash, just a wash. No, he says pool of Siloam. Well, there's another pool here. It's not Siloam, but you can as well wash here. No, it has to be pool of Siloam. So those steps are very important and critical. Hear the instruction and follow the instruction carefully. Word to word, very important. So for this one, for this Naaman, he was told to go to Jordan and dip 7 times. He could not have said, well, I'll just do it 2 times and that should be enough. That should still be the pride. So he did it 7 times. We know the end of the story. He got the miracle. And after he got the miracle, what did he do? Come back and give thanks to the Lord. So we have analyzed 3 or 4 steps now. The first thing is hear testimonies, believe the testimonies. But you can't stop there. Act on the testimony. That's number 3. After you act, follow the steps carefully, and in the end, make sure you go with a good company of friends, company of people that are going to hold you when you are going down. That is the 4th step of this Naaman. And after you've got your miracle, come back and give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Naaman came back and gave thanks to the Lord. And you can see that in the rest of the story. Now, the reason why I chose this particular sermon today is because of Luke chapter 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 27. When the Lord referred to this story, we can all say, well, he was actually talking about they did not honor the king or the right prophet. The prophet was in the land, and yet a prophet has no honor in his own country. That was the story in Luke chapter 4. When you see verse 27, this is what the Lord was saying. He came to Nazareth and he couldn't do any mighty work because they did not believe. And then the Lord told them this. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. The Lord referred to that story that he came to Nazareth and he was saying a prophet was not without except his own country. But that is the pretext for the statement. But let's look at this story and say, why will believers not receive miracle? Believer meaning in our own generation. Why will any believer not receive miracle? What is causing the failure to receive? This is the real message that I want to listen to. The rest, the story I told you, is just to give you a balance of where we're talking about. What will be the reason why believers, because we have seen in our generation, evangelists will go to Africa or to any place where there is just unbelievers, and they preach to crowds. People are being healed, miracles are happening, and people are coming to Christ. Now they come to Christ, they still expect these miracles to be happening, and look like they are not seeing it in the midst of believers in the church. Why is miracle not happening among those who are already believers? Is the question we are trying to analyze. What is the cause of these failures? Now let's go step by step and see what the Bible said, because we are covenant people with God. Just like the Israelites were covenant with God, the people in Israel in the days of Elisha, they have a covenant with God that they don't really need a prophet to heal them. All they need to do is to bring themselves back under the covenant of God. If they have sinned, they need to repent, and God will forgive them and heal them. And that's what the Bible says. When Moses gave them a law in Exodus chapter 15 and said, if you will do all these things I command, I will not put any of these diseases upon you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. You can put that on the screen. Also, he said a similar thing in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 to 15, where he said, God will take away diseases from the midst of you. So all these Israelites, if they were lepers in their generation, and there was a prophet, they could go to the prophet, but they can actually heal themselves, is what we are saying, if they would just come by under the covenant God gave to them. But what is our own covenant? Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 34. The Lord said, this is a new covenant, a new commandment is given to us. If we put ourselves back under this commandment of God, we should be getting miracles. John chapter 13, verse 34. This is the Lord talking to his believers now. A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So if we can put ourselves under this love one another, which Christ commanded, we should be able to get our miracles. So when you have anything you are asking from the Lord, and you have not received it, you need to make a conference with your father. Almost, if you have his father in the house, and you see that you are not getting something, you need to say, Daddy, can we talk? Can we talk, me and you? Okay. What do you want to talk about? Why am I not getting what I asked for? If you can talk to your father like that, well, I know people are not that bold to talk to their father. But when you are grown up, adult, you should be able to talk to your father. Why did I ask for this and you didn't give it to me? And our Father in heaven wants us to talk to him one-on-one like that. So if you can list all the promises of God in the Bible, one of them is this, walk in love. And say, well, I look at my life, I'm walking in love. Why am I not walking in love? He will tell you. He will tell you. Another one that the Lord Jesus Christ said is, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You can bring that to the table with the Father and say, Father, you said if I am abiding in you, I can ask what I will. But I ask and I have not received it yet. How am I not abiding in you? Show it to me. And he will show you. How will he show you? The Lord Jesus Christ gave a story when he was preaching. He said, when you bring your sacrifice to the altar, sacrifice will be like singing praises to God. It's a sacrifice. He said, and you dare remember that you have aught with your neighbor or with your brother. He said, leave your sacrifice and go back first and settle it with your brother. That is how he's going to tell you. So the same way I say, if you want to talk to the Father and say, Father, if I abide in you and your word abide in me, how am I not abiding in you? Why did I ask this thing and you have not received it? Then he will talk to you, back to you, reminding you, just like he will remind you when you bring your sacrifice to the altar. You will just remember, that me and that fellow. Christ said, don't offer that sacrifice. Go back and settle it first. That is what you should do. And that is what I'm suggesting here. When he said, if you abide in me, or when he said, love one another. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. This story of Mark chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us some super word. I said, this is how you get your miracle. Verse 24 said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Desire you when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So somebody said, well, I believe. I've been confessing I have received them, but it's still not appearing yet. Then he gave us verse 25 as continuation of verse 24. And he said, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, this is for the believers. The story of Naaman is the story of unbeliever. Remember that. Because I just said, we in the church, we are not getting our miracles. Why? Why is it taking too long to get miracles from the Lord? When we are covenanted with Father God, talk to the Father and say, how am I not abiding in you? He will talk to you, you and him. You don't need to go and talk to a pastor. Can you show me how I'm not abiding? No, because that will be like I'm pointing out your faults. I have mine. according to the point of view. You just talk to the Father, he will tell you what you are not doing right, that perhaps you need to repent from. And this is how he tells you. That's why I said this example. He will remind you of something that you have not done. There was a story that I heard from a minister. Many of us always judge other people. This minister was saying the story of how he was ministering in a place, and then he saw the Lord use a man that he knew, that man, how can you use that man? I saw him in one joint, one joint, where only ungodly people should go to that joint. How can you use that man? The Lord talked to him that the man you saw in that joint, he turned around because he was a new believer. When he realized where he was going, he turned around and repented and get out. But he said, but there was a woman in that church that was full of Holy Ghost, born again for many years. Why didn't you use that one? And the Lord told this minister, well, that woman you are pointing to has been rebellious against me for 30 years. Now, you think about that. How can a fool of the Holy Ghost that could prophesy in the church and still say rebellious against him? Rebellious about what? Rebellious about what? That is why I meditate on that how can the Lord point to a woman full of the Holy Ghost in the fellowship and say she has been rebellious against him, against God, for 30 years? What has God told the woman to do that she's not doing? I don't think he's saying go and witness in Africa. It could be a simple thing as not obeying your husband. It could be as simple as that. God will say it's rebellious against him, not against your husband. Because I'm beginning to say, what has this woman done? I said, I couldn't use this woman because she has been rebellious against me for 30 years. Let me give you my own testimony. I was in Africa many years. I came from Nigeria, many of you know. And I was preaching about in Nigeria. And I thought I was doing something. I had a jeep. I would go from village to village and preach and preach and preach. And I was unique. I say unique because many of my believers were not, my brethren were not doing similar things. So every evening after work, I would drive out to the nearest village and preach. People are coming forward, I'm praying for them. And one of those days, I'm talking of 1977, 78, 79, those 3 years I was working in Nigeria. One of those days, the Lord showed to me in a vision and told me that I was not obeying him. How can I not be obeying you? I'm going every evening to preach. Now you think about that. I was not obeying you, but you told me to be preaching about every evening, 5 o'clock, I drove to the nearest village and preached to the next village, and people are coming for, and you are still saying I was not obeying you. Then he pointed out to me what he was talking about. I could be driving like this, going to the next village. I already set my mind. I was going to the village X on this road. And then a tug said, branch to this village. Branch to this village. And I said, no, I have to go to that village before they close. My pre-planned. You think God was pleased with that? He wanted me to branch to this village now. If you disobey that because you have pre-planned your your program says you've got to go to that village. I went to that village, all right, and did what I thought. And some people came forward. And it was off and on like that. And they said, you are not obeying me. Then I got the message. It is not my pre-plan. So when God is talking to that evangelist, said that woman has been rebellious for 30 years. And yet, not that rebellious as if to cast him to her to hell. Your rebellious could be in the simple things like that. Because where I was going this way, I thought I already planned it. And I was going to that village, and he said, branch to this village now. This village now. And I said, well, no, that's going to, if I have to branch there, I won't get to that one before it's too dark. But you see, who my mind would be. You see what I'm talking about? When God is dealing with you, he wants you to obey him. Not your plan, not your idea, not what you have prepared. So these are all the things that make me to say, when the Lord is talking to us, he will remind you of what you have done wrong so that you can correct yourself. Whom are we serving? Are you serving him or are you serving yourself? So that's a good example that I just threw that in. Now, the first thing that after you realize what you have done is to repent. Repent means turn around and say, Lord, I will obey now. If you tell me to branch here, I'm going to 5 miles away. He said, no, just go to the town where you are and talk to somebody. Do that. So that is very important, that when you repent, then you can claim your promise. Praise the Lord. Now, the other problem that people will run into is the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren will be another person you need to deal with, which is Satan himself. When you are trying to get your miracle, you are trying to get your answer to your prayer, there is an accuser of the brethren that is looking for every fault he can find. And when he cannot even find a fault, he will try to create one for you. That is one of the things you have to watch out for, the accuser. And now you have to resist him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, points out who is this accuser of the brethren in verse 12, verse 10 and 11. Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The devil is always going to be doing his own work. He knows what you have prayed for. He heard you when you are praying about it. And he saw you exercising the faith. You have taken the first step, you take the second step. And he's going to try to find something to accuse you of. And that is where you are going to have. Sometimes you may say, well, he has found something. You did something wrong here. Yeah? It may not be a big offense. It may be just a simple disobedience like I just mentioned. Because what did I lose by not going to the village that God said I should go to? Maybe there would have been a bigger miracle that would have hit the news. But I missed that. I went to the village of my pre-planned idea and got nothing. Just pray for people and nothing happened. Or there was no manifestation. So that is what I'm saying, that sometimes the accuser of the brethren will point to that and say, you see, he disobeyed you there, so you better don't do this for him. Now, the Bible said you have to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. How will you do this? Because you don't know when he was accusing you. The Bible said in verse 11 of chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Granted, the accuser of the brethren is walking. You may not even know when he has accused you. But if you have not received your miracle, that's the final suspicion. Think of that direction. Somebody said, if I'm praying for something and I've not got it, the first place to look at may be my love walk. Am I walking in love? Have I forgiven all those that have offended me, that I have offended? If you have cleared that, and it still seems to be that I couldn't find any place where I'm not forgiving anybody, I'm walking in love, then maybe the accuser of the brethren has found something that you didn't know, that he has pointed out and said, look what he did or what he didn't do that he should have done as a believer that is hindering your prayer. Then the blood of Jesus. Amen. But he said it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's not an assumption. You have to speak it out. Plead the blood. Amen. That's why he said the word of their testimony. Speak out the word of God. Plead the blood of Jesus against the accuser of the brethren. Praise the Lord. And the third step of how we are to receive our miracle, if it's failing, is to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Abide in me is what the Bible said. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. So in summary, I'm going to wrap it up in a few minutes. In summary, I said, miracles happen to unbelievers easily because God is advertising himself. That's why Naaman came and got miracle. It's an advertisement of the kingdom God is setting up. Miracles happen when unbelievers come and people pray for them. But in the household of God, you are now in the covenant with God. You are to remind God of that covenant. That God, you said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Say, Lord, I believe Mark chapter 11, or Mark chapter 16, the last verse 17 and 18. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, Father, I believe. Why am I not seeing these signs? Then you, after you have brought the covenant to before him, he's going to remind you of whatever is your fault. Like he said, if you have hurt against somebody, he will remind you of that so that you can repent of it. And after you have cleared that, remember the accuser of the brethren plead the blood of Jesus, so that the accuser of the brethren have nothing against you because the blood is covering. You have to speak it out constantly, because not as well the blood should have been doing it. You have to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Then walk in the light, which is your, that should be your norm. That should be our norm. Our way of life is to walk in the light. Then he said, abide in him and let his word abide in us. And then don't doubt. Those are simple, simple things. Well, it's not that simple, but it's simple. You have to search yourself daily and say, am I doubting what I just prayed for? After I say I believe, a week may pass and the devil will bring back the thought of it and say, you think that's going to really happen? You have to keep saying, it's going to happen. I believe it, it's going to happen. Confess what you believe is how you overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to wrap it up right now. We are going to pray for ourselves. In summary, what have we said? You have heard the word of God. You believe the word of God. Take actions, steps of faith. And then watch how these people that you associate with, are they pulling your faith down or are they lifting you up? And then walk in the light. Give thanks to the Lord after you have received your miracle. In fact, is it when you receive your miracle that you should be thanking the Lord? No, not only that. The Bible said, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. It says, if you pray for something, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Now, if you believe you receive them, what should you be doing? Thanking him. So which means you should be thanking the Lord before it manifests, before that miracle manifests, before what you have claimed, what you have prayed for manifests. That is the challenge. Believe you receive it. And if I believe I receive it, begin to say, thank you, Jesus, I have received it. Let's stand on our feet. Praise God, let's stand on our feet. Anything you have been praying for or you have prayed for, and you know the Lord has promised this for you, and it seems so not forthcoming. He said, believe you receive them. Believe you receive them, you shall have them. Then if you have believed you receive them, now lift up your hands and thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord that, Lord, I believe I received my miracle. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. The day I was afflicted one time like that, the Lord came into the room and said, okay, I have healed you. Lift up your hands and thank me. But the thing was still there. So I lifted up my hands and started thanking the Lord before he dropped the fire. And I felt the fire. But you have to thank him first. So begin to thank the Lord. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for I believe I received my miracle. Thank him for your miracle that you have claimed, that you have believed. And if you need to take some steps, that is the purpose of this sermon. Take those steps. If you need to repent of something, repent of it in your heart. Once you repent in your heart, say, Lord, forgive me. I did something wrong to that fellow. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And now you are back in faith with the Lord. And then you can claim your promises. After, if you need to take steps more than that, like go back and settle it, when you leave this place, you go and settle it with the person. And then the miracle will be yours. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your victory. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for everybody, for every one of us, Lord, that have presented something to you, Lord. Whatever we have asked, you say we shall receive. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Thank you, Jesus, because we know you will do it. Now, is anybody here that said, I have something important that I have asked the Lord and I want you to pray along with me? Just 1, 2, 3 people that want to say, come, I want you to pray along with me. I'm going to agree with you, like we said. If 2 of you shall agree, I can agree with you. Anybody wants to do that, come forward real quick. 3 people. If you want to, you want somebody to agree with you with what you have believed God for, I'm ready to agree with you. I'll just hold your hand right here and agree with you. And 1, 2, 3. Just say, if you 2 of you shall agree touching a matter. So that is the agreement. We're going to agree together. If it's the same thing both of you are asking for, yes, then hold yourself together. I will just agree with you, sir. The cup and the shade, the hope and the cord and the hope. For I agree with our brother and our sister. Whatever they are asking for, I believe in them and we claim it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Let it be so. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Brother, whatever you are asking for, I agree with you. Tell Jesus, Father, I thank you for our brother. Whatever he is believing God for, I agree with him, Lord Jesus Christ. If two of you shall agree, touching the thing, it shall be done for them. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus, for you have received it. Believe you receive it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray with my sister, Lord Jesus, whatever you have believed God for and you are agreeing with, I'm agreeing with you right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let that be spoken to the Lord. Believe you receive them and you shall receive them. I agree with you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give it to her and let your name, Lord, be glorified. And come back and give glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Mama, what are you asking for from the Lord? You know it. Have you told the Lord?
Yes.
Believe you receive it. Now thank you. Thank you for it. Thank Jesus for it. Father, I agree with my sister. I agree with my sister, Lord Jesus Christ. She believed and she will receive it, like you have said. I agree with her in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be so for her. In Jesus' name we pray. But I pray for our sister, Lord Jesus, and I agree with her whatever she is believing for. Let her receive it, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus Christ. Say thank you, Jesus, for giving it to me. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my sister, Lord Jesus Christ, and I agree with her whatever she is asking God for. Grant it to her, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for her in Jesus' name. Say, I believe I receive it. Say, I believe I receive it. Say with your mouth, I believe I receive my miracle. Say, I believe I receive my miracle. Or I agree with my sister, I receive your miracle. Say, I believe I receive my miracle. I believe with my sister and my brother, Lord Jesus Christ, whatever they are believing God for, I agree with them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them receive it, Lord, as they thank you. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving it to me. Say, I believe I receive my miracle. Father, you are the one that said you call this, but I never planned this, Lord. Whatever they are asking for, I believe and I agree with them, Lord Jesus Christ. And as they thank you, let them receive it. Thank Jesus for it. You receive it in Jesus' name. Pray, see the Lord. Pray, see the Lord. Give all your son.
I will exalt you, Lord.